OOM.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Straz Center, presenting Tap Dogs, performing March 29th through the 31st, part theater, part dance, part rock concert, and part construction site. The show is crammed with high-energy dance, acrobatics, and music performed by the cast and live musicians. More at strazcenter.org. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 Community Radio from West Central Florida. This is in specific. You have tuned to Executive Session, which is an ongoing conversation about the executive branch of your United States government. You can join the conversation this afternoon, as every afternoon at this time, Monday through Thursday, by dialing 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at area code DJ at WMNF.org, and by text at 813-433. Let me give you that again. You can reach us by text at 813-433-0885. And boom, as they say, we buckled up last Thursday, and guess what happened Friday? So there has been a tremendous amount of discussion here about the Mueller report, which no one has seen. And then subsequently, the Attorney General, an administration appointee, issued a letter. And there has been a great deal of conversation about that letter as well. Well, there have been parts of it here and parts of it there and parts of it someplace else. So we're going to take a few minutes and we are going to hear that letter. This is addressed to Chairman Graham of the Committee on Judiciary in the Senate, Gerald Nadler, the Committee on the Judiciary of the House, the Honorable Dianne Feinstein, the ranking member of the Committee of the Judiciary in the Senate, and Doug Collins, ranking member of the Committee on the Judiciary in the United States House of Representatives. Dear Chairman, as a supplement to the notification provided on Friday, March 22nd, 2019, I am writing today to advise you of the principal conclusions reached by Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III, and to inform you about the status of my initial review of the report he prepared. Special Counsel's Report, Subhead 1. On Friday, the Special Counsel submitted to me a, quote, confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions, unquote, he has reached, as required by 28 CFR 600.8C. This report's entitled, quote, Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election. Although my review is ongoing, I believe that it is in the public interest to describe the report and to summarize the principal conclusions reached by the special counsel and the results of his investigation. The report explains that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the presidential campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigation, he employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents in intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued almost 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. The special counsel obtained a number of indictments and convictions of individuals and entities in connection with his investigation, all of which have been publicly disclosed. During the course of his investigation, the special counsel also referred several matters to other offices for further action. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have been yet to be made public. Below, I summarize the principal conclusions laid out in the special counsel's report. Subhead 2, Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The special counsel report is divided into two parts. The first describes the result of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. The special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 presidential election. As the report states, quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. The special counsel's investigation determined that there were two main Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election. The first involved attempts by a Russian organization, the Internet Research Agency, IRA, to conduct disinformation and social media operations in the United States designed to sow social discord, eventually with the aim of interfering with the election. As noted above, the special counsel did not find that any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA in its efforts, although the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals and entities in connection with these activities. The second element involved the Russian government's efforts to conduct computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence computers and obtained emails. Let me see here, just a second. The special counsel found that Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons associated with the Clinton campaign and Democratic Party organizations, and publicly disseminated these materials through various intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. Based on these activities, the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian military officers for conspiring to hack into computers in the United States for the purposes of influencing the election. But as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone else associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated officials to assist the government campaign. The Trump campaign. Obstruction of justice. This is the next subhead. The report's second part addresses a number of actions by the president, most of which have been the subject of public reporting, that the special counsel investigated as potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. After making a, quote, thorough factual investigation, unquote, into these matters, the special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct under department standards regarding prosecution and conviction, but ultimately determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. The special counsel, therefore, did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined content constituted obstruction. Instead, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues, that's a quote, of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The special counsel's report states that, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it does not exonerate him, End of quote. The special counsel's decision to describe the facts of his obstruction investigation without reaching any legal conclusions leaves it to the Attorney General to determine whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime. Over the course of the investigation, the special counsel's office engaged in discussions with certain department officials regarding many of the legal and factual matters at issue in the special counsel's obstruction investigation. After reviewing the special counsel's final report on these issues, consulting with department officials, including the Office of Legal Counsel, and applying the principles of federal prosecution that guide our charging decisions, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Our determination was made without regard to and is not based on the constitutional considerations that surround the indictment and criminal prosecution of a sitting president. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that, quote, the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference, unquote, and that while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. Generally speaking, to obtain and just sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in obstructive conduct with a sufficient nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding. In cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in public view, the report identifies no actions that, in our judgment, constitute obstructive conduct, had a nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding, and were done with corrupt intent, each of which, under the department's principles of federal prosecution, guiding charging decisions, would need to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt to establish an obstruction of justice offense. Status of the department's review, the final section, I hope. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that, quote, the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference, unquote, and that, while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. Generally speaking, to obtain... Oh, I think I just started a paragraph we already read. Okay, here's the last section. Status of the department's review. Sorry. The relevant regulations contemplate that the special counsel's report will be a, quote, confidential report, unquote, to the Attorney General. As I have previously stated, however, I am mindful of the public interest in this matter. For that reason, my goal and intent is to release as much of the special counsel's report as I can, consistent with applicable law, regulation, and departmental policies. Based on my discussions with the special counsel and my initial review, it is apparent that the report contains material that is or could be subject to Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 6E, which imposes restrictions on the use and disclosure of information relating to, quote, matters occurring before a grand jury. Federal R Criminal P 6E 2B, Rule Investigation and Prosecution, disclosure of material beyond the strict limits set forth in the rule is a crime in certain circumstances. This restriction protects the integrity of grand jury proceedings and ensures that the unique and invaluable investigative powers of a grand jury are used strictly for their intended criminal function. Given these restrictions, the schedule for processing the report depends in part on how quickly the department can identify the 6E material that by law cannot be made public. I have requested the assistance of the special counsel in identifying all 6E information contained in the report as quickly as possible. Separately, I also must identify any information that could impact other ongoing matters, including those that the special counsel has referred to other offices. As soon as that process is complete, I will be in a position to move forward expeditiously in determining what can be released in light of applicable law, regulations, and departmental policies. As I observed in my initial notification, The special counsel regulations provide that, quote, the Attorney General may determine that public release of, unquote, notifications to your prospective committees, quote, would be in the public interest, unquote. I have so determined, and I will disclose the letter to the public after delivering it to you. Sincerely, William P. Barr, Attorney General. All right. Thank you for your persistence. That was the entirety of the Attorney General of the United States summary of the report by the special counsel. Now, what questions did that bring up for you? What did you hear in there? And what have you heard in comments and conversations about this? 813-239-9663 will get you in contact this afternoon with Mr. Frank Knox, who will get you ready to step in here and have your say. In the meantime, let's talk. Archie, bring it.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, women. Mister, we could use a man like Private Hoover again. Need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
A very, very important session this afternoon where this community has an opportunity to sit and speak among ourselves about the fact that we haven't seen the Mueller report. We know some of the statistics. We know some of the mechanics, some of what contributed to its formulation. But what we have, and the quotes that I read, by the way, whenever we were going through the Attorney General's letter, the quotes are the only parts of the Mueller investigation that we have actually seen. They are the only parts of the Mueller report that we have actually seen is maybe a dozen individual quotes from the Attorney General. So, what do you think about this? Is this, as far as you're concerned, what the White House is calling a total exoneration? Or do you have questions about that? And we're going to go and start off with Thomas in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Thomas. You're in executive session this Monday afternoon. You have the floor.
Na 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 na. Hey hey hey! Can you say goodbye?
So you what are you saying goodbye to?
Can you say goodbye?
Oh yeah, I can say goodbye.
All right.
I say goodbye all the time. But what do you say?
Hello there. Well, hello there.
Well, hello there. So listen, what do you think of all this? What do you think? It sounds to me like you may be in the this is a total exoneration camp. Is that the case?
Well, first, let me just say before I answer that, I would like to commend you for actually reading the entire statement in full. I thought that was a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I actually apologize for doing that. I know it's tedious, but I have not heard anyone else. I haven't heard that output out there anywhere, you know?
I really commend you for that, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I just want to say there's two points, really. So the most important thing is the legal terms, right? This is all an investigation, which you're trying to prosecute someone or at least indict someone in charge.
Yeah.
So the most important things on that exoneration letter or the Attorney General's statement in regards was that Rod Rosenstein, he's on the two most critical documents in this investigation. His signature is on the fourth FISA warrant, which actually gave the authority for the FBI to spy on the Trump administration.
There's an interesting term.
And he also is the signature, which it was brilliant by William Barr and the Trump administration, no matter how you want to see it. They let him stay on. They didn't dismiss him. And his signature is also on the exoneration letter. So now the man who signed the letter to be able to spy on the campaign now signed the letter to exonerate him. It's very clever. So
you're very clear, as you say, exoneration, that the attorney general reported that the special counsel said that they found no evidence that the Trump campaign or anyone connected around it had anything to do with actually aiding the Russians. So that's correct. One thing that's cleared up. But that they specifically did not exonerate him on obstruction of justice.
No, they did not specifically make a statement on that, and that is going to be probably determined. I imagine eventually Congress is going to make them explain why they made that determination when they release more of the actual findings in the Mueller report. But once again, the whole thing is this was all started on a Russian collusion delusion. Now, what I want people to realize, this is what the next point I want to bring up.
What delusion is that?
Well, that Russia actually was in Trump, that Trump is a Russian asset, and he has been a Russian asset going back all the way to the 80s, that he was controlled. He's a Putin puppet. This is a delusional tactic.
No, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Okay. Because, well, here's the thing. I understand that it turns out that a very, very thorough investigation has turned up that there's no evidence that he was involved in that, okay? But when people, how many people around him, how many people in his campaign have gotten in trouble because of their contacts and their communications and stuff with Russians and the way that I don't think it's delusional to investigate whether or not the president of the United States is, and I don't want to use the word agent, but, you know, cooperating. So then I'm glad we found out that as far as they can tell, he wasn't. But I think it's really important to know.
Of course. And nor was any of his associates, which the exoneration letter stated, had anything to do with collusion with the foreign government for an election. Now, I just want to say one thing. Listen, in December of 2016, right before Trump was inaugurated, okay, Obama signed the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act into law. Okay? This essentially made a minister of truth in our government, and hidden deep inside the provisions of that act, the United States government actually allowed, under law, to pay for the advancement of broadcast and digital media propaganda capabilities.
Whoa, wait a minute. We have wandered off into the weeds here. What are you calling propaganda?
This is in the actual act that he signed, the Disinformation and Propaganda Act, into law.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was foreign agents constantly spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on digital media broadcast companies putting out propaganda against, you know, anti-American. So what this did was this allowed the government to put out propaganda legally. Now, what I just want to say is that Trump let the law expire earlier in this year, like in January, and as a result, you saw like thousands of established media members be let go. Okay? So what happened was this is very important. Okay? They spied on a presidential nominee. They spied on...
Oh, wait a minute. They didn't spy on anybody. They were conducting an investigation, and that's what you do when you're investigating. You go look at stuff. Okay, there's a difference between that and espionage.
Okay, fair. They investigated a presidential nominee. They investigated a sitting president. They legally paid members of the media to spread disinformation and broadcast...
Back that up. What? Who? So wait a minute. Who is they?
They is the government.
The government. So you're saying that the government paid people to broadcast They paid media people to broadcast misinformation. Is that what you're saying?
533,000 articles were published about Russia and Trump collusion. 2,284 minutes. We're dedicated.
Where are you getting these figures?
Those figures are tallied. I think I got those from Drudge Report.
Okay, good. I just want to know. I just want to know whose input we're discussing. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
533,000 articles published on Trump and Russian collusion. Over 2,000 minutes of actual airtime. Dare I say treason? I don't know. Maybe I just say insurance policy. What you see
no,
right
maybe
now,
you should say that there were professional journalists in legacy media outlets who were doing their job and covering the investigation and were covering the events that were being revealed as the investigation went on. Maybe that's what you could say.
Well, then if that's the case, and I hope it is, because I do not believe in this, you know, large, huge conspiracy of this global deep state government. I hope.
Well, that's good.
So I hope that the media comes out and admits they were wrong, and Rachel Maddow, who spent night after night after night telling people that she was wrong, comes out and admits it. Because what I smell is, like everyone else, the weapons of mass destruction all over again. The media is continuing making more things up to go around with narratives.
See, you've gone back into accusing the media of fabricating fiction again, and you just slid right back in there. Real interesting, real easy.
Because what I'm saying is, it's pretty obvious to anyone who actually wants to not just give a pass to the people in the mainstream media. And that law that Obama signed right before he went out of law made it legal for us to hire.
What's the name of that? Okay, just a second. We got to go because we got a lot of people and we've been 7 and some minutes on the air here. So look, what is the name of the law you're talking about again?
Okay, the law, I believe exactly, is called Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. We have people in this community who at this very moment are doing searches on that, and I appreciate you bringing it in. Thanks a lot, Thomas. We'll talk again. Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get your very self into this very conversation contact with Mr. Frank Knox, who will get you ready to come out here and have your say. In the meantime, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members in UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect.
WMNF's record and CD sale. Amazing deals. Don't miss out. Snag the album of your dreams at a way cheap price. This sale will blow your mind. Most CDs and LPs will be priced at $2.
All purchases are as is and are final. Parking is limited. Carpooling and alternative transportation is suggested.
WMNF's big record and CD sale. Saturday, April 27th. Be there.
And back to the conversation we are discussing, as we definitely had to get to, the bar summary of the special counsel's report, of which, by the way, we have seen nothing except the few quotes that the attorney general lifted from we don't know how many pages of material in order to formulate his summary. And we're very interested to know what you heard, what you saw. Thomas saw a lot, and we had a long conversation with him about that, and we're going to go and talk to Ted, because Ted had to come out of the bunker to listen to this one.
I'll tell you this much, I rolled a big fatty on Friday afternoon.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it was only because it was finally done.
Yeah, wasn't it interesting? It was funny because I kept hearing the news media are going, oh, they're going to release it, they're going to release it, they're going to release it. Then I heard somebody say from somebody who was supposed to be an official that it wasn't going to happen at all next week or this week.
A coincidence.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence.
The president's in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
The Congress is out on spring break.
Uh-huh.
and this gets dropped Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidences.
Oh, no, there's no coincidence. Well, the another interesting thing was that I believe the president is on his way back over to Vietnam.
Really?
I think that, the last I heard, he was expected to meet with Kim Jong-un, is it this week? And somebody can call and correct me on that if I have once again missed my dates. But I thought that one of the reasons that I heard that they wouldn't release this was because the president was going to be out of the country. And so what they did instead was release it before he hit the country club.
Yeah. Well, I know this. The Attorney General of New York and my former employer, the Department of Taxation and Finance, will hang all the kids.
You think?
And Donald. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Well,
that's why there was no reason to go further on this report.
Well, that was one of the things that people are pointing out about the Attorney General's summary, is that we now know just how narrowly defined Mueller's investigation was. He was looking for specifically Russian involvement or people's involvement with Russians and obstruction of justice. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that came up in the process that he referred to other places.
That's what he does. That's why he's the best.
Well, we shall see. I am reasonably sure that there is a certain amount of dampness in the armpits around the White House about the Southern District of New York and the Eastern District of Virginia.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. All right, Ted, listen.
All right, we got to go.
Take care of yourself. We'll talk again. Sure enough. 813-239-9663. That summary, the summary that the Attorney General released, that is basically his conclusions about what the special counsel didn't express any conclusions about. I'm not sufficiently legally minded to understand all of that, but perhaps you are, and you would like to come on here at 813-239-9663 and have a go at enlightening anybody who's interested. And we're going to go and talk to Joe in St. Petersburg. Joe, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hi, John. I want to tell you what I heard.
Okay.
I want to talk about what Obama did. First of all, Obama warned everyone before this election or before he gave up office. I don't exactly know what the timeline was, but he did warn them that Russians were interfering in our election. He also expelled several of the Russian diplomats from this country.
Yeah.
So he did do something about it.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I heard. I heard Barr say that there was no collusion on the part of the Trump campaign, in spite of the fact that the Russians tried to approach them on it.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing it's something I want to discuss. It was enabling them because they should have, as soon as the Russians said, hey, I want to help you out, I want to get some dirt, I want to do WikiLeaks, I want to expose, I want to hack. As soon as they told the Trump campaign that they wanted to do this, the Trump campaign should have went right to the FBI.
You know, that's very interesting, and you're the first person that I've heard that has brought that up. One of if there was... I don't know exactly how it was termed, these numerous overtures, I guess you could say, or numerous offers, and nobody in the Trump administration thought that, or nobody in the Trump campaign or the transition thought that that was worth talking to the FBI about?
As a matter of fact, that there was supposed to be some kind of meeting in Trump Tower that everybody talked about, that where they said, oh yeah, let's see if you can give us some dirt on Hillary. You know, this is, to me, as far as I'm concerned, Barr is whitewashing this thing. He's trying to exonerate the president because he's in the president's pocket just like everybody else in that government. And you know, what he should, what should be said is that, and somebody brought it up last night on the media, saying aiding and abetting. Maybe they didn't collude, but they aided and abetted. If they didn't say, they knew that they were trying to hack the election and didn't say anything about it to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, so lawyers out there, a lawyer out there, if I have knowledge of criminal activity, if I have knowledge of something ongoing that's illegal, and I don't say anything about it, is there a criminal liability attached to that?
I think it makes you an accessory.
I think there's an argument to be made for that. I'm not sure that it's legally sound, but I think there's an argument that could be made for it. But you're right. Okay. But that's very interesting. That if there were numerous overtures from the Russians to the campaign, and the campaign didn't say anything about that, that's kind of a problem.
And also, you know, when he was giving his tirade on John McCain, he said John McCain gave this information on
the so-called dossier.
Yeah. Well, John McCain did the right thing. He saw that there was something going on, and he immediately alerted the FBI.
Yeah.
What he should have done as a good citizen.
So did the Australian diplomat that Mr. Papadopoulos had his little conversation with in the bar. That what he heard apparently alarmed him sufficiently that he went to the FBI.
Well, that's what you should do.
If I know that somebody
say, let's get simple about it. I know somebody's planning to rob a bank. I overheard him, or he tried to ask me, would I help him? And I said no. Well, the next thing I would have to do is go to the cops and say, "Hey, look, this guy quit." If I was a good citizen, I would have to alert the police, alert the authorities on it.
You might think so, Joe. Listen, thanks. You brought something into the session this afternoon that I haven't heard anybody else point out, and I'd be interested to know how some other folks heard that. And thank you very much. I appreciate your call. We'll talk again.
Thank you, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM in Tampa. We are executive session. My name is John Gilmore. We are here from just after the 1 o'clock NPR news on Monday through Thursday until 2 o'clock. And this is an open discussion. All viewpoints are welcome. We insist on people being civil, primarily because we treat radio like it's the back fence in the neighborhood where people can kind of get together and talk. And, you know, you walk away knowing a little more than you did, even if you're not convinced of the other guy's viewpoint. But, you know, it's a civil conversation. So let us talk here to DeAndre in Riverview. Good afternoon, DeAndre. You're in executive session. You got the floor.
Hey, John, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So, yeah, my thing is that we've learned plenty before this investigation before
the summary.
Summary was put out, right?
Yeah.
So my thing is that, you know, there was a dump in the WikiLeaks about the DNC's, of the DNC's emails and other persons related, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a rally where Trump basically said, hey, you know, bring whatever out you can about Hillary Clinton to the Russians, right?
Yeah, he seemed to invite them to find Hillary's emails.
Right, right. He encouraged it.
So it seemed.
He meant emails to do with Benghazi at that point. All those that were said to have been lost with the server, or it wasn't a secure server, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, the hypocrisy there with that right now. But then you had the sit down with the intelligence agencies following the primaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were clued in on a lot of this stuff about the Russians and this media campaign that was going on. All right, so those three things bring really, I mean, well, they just told me, hey, they can't get that guy on that because it was after the fact that he found out about all this stuff, or he presented it as being after the fact with that rally and him suggesting that the Russians dig deeper, you know? So following that, he learned all the ongoings, or at least a summary of, you know, Russian activities in our election. See, this brings up a moral question, or a question of his morality. You know, knowing this, what is he going to do? Stop everything, you know, he's going to say, we got to address all this stuff, you know, in concert with Hillary Clinton, because, you know, it's getting pretty ugly. They're trying to mess with our campaign. No. And for, I guess, maybe fair reason, you know, when we're attacked, if it was, you know, any of these different situations out here with, like, nuclear war, what do you do? I mean, or a nuclear assault or any kind of assault on American soil, what do you do? You say, hey, life goes on.
Yeah, we're just... Well, that's it. I used to say. So if I try to drop a bomb on your house, okay, I actually try to drop a bomb, but I miss. See, it's okay with you, right?
Well, no, you got to understand. This is soft. What do you call it? These are soft targets.
Yeah.
In a sense, still, even though they're to do with our elections, that's pretty major. But these are soft targets, and. America's been doing that all over the world forever.
We're pretty mischievous about that stuff.
It brings a question of his morality and continuing on without addressing it.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? During
the they knew about it. They didn't say anything about it, and they also apparently knew that not only were the Russians messing around in the elections, but that they were trying to mess around with the election, but that they were trying to mess around with the election in his favor.
Right, exactly. So he pretty much down the line encouraged it, and then at some point, you know, it was determined with his camp that it was okay, maybe before him, but following later, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the question still looms because of him being so boastful or, you know, outspoken as he can be, you know, to go ahead and put that out there. At any rate, though, that's my thought. And also, for the fellow who called maybe two calls ago, it's the economy. It's not a deep state thing. It's the economy. It's there for all of us to see.
Yeah. All right, DeAndre, listen, thanks a lot for calling. We'll call and we will talk again, sir.
Hey, thank you, man, for hearing my rambles. Thanks, man.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Listen, support for WMNF comes from our members in Ruth Eckerd Hall, welcoming Jackson Brown April 4th. RuthEckerdHall.com has ticket information in case you'd like to go see Jackson Brown over at Ruth Eckerd Hall. Anyway, back to the conversation. We are going to talk to... Hey, Danny, good afternoon. You're in executive session. It's Monday afternoon. What do you got?
Thank you. Good, great news about Jackson Brown. Didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I saw him before. Great. All I got to say is, wow.
That's a good opener, isn't it?
That's a good opener. So let's see here. Has evil skated, we wonder. Did anybody get to Mueller, under the question? Because to sit there and say that there was no collusion on the first charge, the big main charge, and then to punt on obstruction? You're not even going to tell us as to yay or nay? I hate to agree with Alan Dershowitz, of all people. I know, but even he said that was not, that what that that's not, what was that about?
Yeah.
So he told him, shame on you. Well, come on, Mueller, if you're going to say that there was no obstruction, explain as to why yourself.
That's the thing now, Danny. We actually don't know. He may have gone into considerably more detail about that in his report, and Barr may not have seen fit to bring that out. What I wonder about is, given that this now, you remember, they investigated Hillary. They investigated, and they were so angry because they investigated and they found all this stuff that she did that they didn't like, but they didn't charge her.
Exactly.
And now we got the Mueller, who they've been screaming is a well, you know, I don't know, something bad,
yeah.
for months and months and months, comes out and basically says the same thing about the president.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't get it. You know, I was hearing Thomas, the first caller, and he must have definitely listened this morning to Democracy Now! There was a great debate between Glenn Greenwald and David K. Johnston.
Yeah.
And Glenn Greenwald, I mean, I've been suspicious of him lately. You know, he's appearing on Fox and all that and talking to Tucker and Laura Ingraham and Hannity. However, not to say that he's a Trump lover. He even thinks that Trump is one of the most corrupt, if not the most corrupt person he's human being ever. But he also was turning to David K. Johnston and telling Amy Goodman that, and I've heard him say this before, that this whole thing, just like Thomas said, that's where Thomas must have got this from, that the media and Rachel Maddow, he went out Rachel Maddow, where this was just one big hoax all along.
Yeah.
That it's actually endangered Russia-United States relations.
You know, a hoax is I could see that they're following the day-to-day occurrences.
Yeah.
Could reach incorrect conclusions. A hoax is something that's deliberate.
That very exactly deliberate. So he was all of the media. I know. No, he's still great on the whole thing about the war weapons of mass destruction. He said this was even more of a concocted story, but more of a made up story than that.
Wow.
So yeah, I disagree with him to a certain point. You know, so you mean to tell me, John, that the whole thing about firing Comey in the middle, there to stop an investigation, that was just nothing.
Well,
WikiLeaks was nothing.
There are a lot of things I don't understand. There are a lot of things I don't understand, Danny. I don't understand.
The full report. We've got to get the full report. And, you know, this still, listen, the Southern District of New York is still around.
Yeah.
And unless there's something fishy there, because everything sounds fishy, let's see what they come up with. But this leads me to believe that I'm disappointed. There's no doubt about it. Among other people. But this leads me to believe that if there is something crooked or fishy in D.C. or in Denmark, if there is something like that, then there's no hope of anything ever getting rid of this man, not even an election.
Well, I don't know.
It would be fixed again.
Well, listen here. Well, of course, you can always rig it. I mean, you know, it's a possibility that we have, in fact, hurled ourselves down the rabbit hole and that's just where we're headed. But I don't see it yet. I have a lot of faith in the American people. I saw what happened in the midterms, and I'm very encouraged at the level of activism going on. Yeah. And I think that we're going to see this whole report at some point, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a lot more to it. You know, I don't understand, for example, how a campaign manager and a senior advisor go to a meeting that is advertised as someplace where they're going to get incriminating evidence from the Russian government that's part of the Russian government and its efforts for Trump.
Yep.
And that's not any kind of collusion. I don't understand that.
I
eagerly wait someone's explanation for it because it doesn't make any sense to me.
On that optimistic note that you think that there's still hope, you've given me hope today, more hope than I was before I talked to you.
All right, Danny, listen, it's good to talk with you, and we'll talk again, sir.
Thank you, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 as we tiptoe up to the threshold of the lightning round to let you know that you are going to be able to hear the song that changed the direction of music forever. Music from a mouse and playing live Jerry music from a mouse. And Jerry McGee from Texas stops by to play a few songs, and that's all on It's the Music today between 2 and 4. Flea is going to bring you the song that changed the direction of music forever. Music from a mouse, okay? And I'm sure that there is a very, very interesting exposition of what that means. And Flea is going to take you through the afternoon, and then we're going to take you through the traffic jam and get you back home. And that's how we're going to do it. We are here at 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa, and you are listening to Executive Session here, as we do on every Monday through Thursday, just after the NPR News and up until 2 o'clock. And we are going to go and talk to Lowell. Good afternoon, Lowell. You are in executive session. Thank you for your patience. You have the floor.
Hello, John. How are you?
So far, not bad.
As opposed to me, so far, very bad.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, you know, this is an ongoing thing, so we don't know how it's going to turn out.
No, good point. So Ari Melber tweeted something very interesting. As you know, he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he said, in first of all, in Barr's summary, he only took four partial sentences out of the Mueller report. Why did he couldn't find any whole sentences? And what was on the other side of those sentences? You know, right? And he also had a good point. He said, Barr chose not to use Mueller's summary, and you know Mueller's a thoughtful guy.
Yeah,
and yet he was not able to use Mueller's summary. I insist on believing in Mueller and disbelieving in Barr. You know, that's kind of where I'm falling.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see. I have a lot of faith in Robert Mueller. I think that his history indicates that he's a straight shooter. And, you know, we'll find out. And that's why I think it's absolutely critical that this whole report or the parts of it that can be released get released.
Yes. So I'm trying to be optimistic, and I'm having trouble.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. The United States has a government that responds to participation. So when we are up off of our couches... out there doing, you know, canvassing and voter registration and voting and running for office. That's what gets this system. That's what makes this happen. And if the people don't participate, someone else will.
I know.
Yeah.
Good thought, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. We'll talk again.
Talk again.
Listen, I don't want to let the day go by without thanking Isaac and his family for being here. Isaac brought his dad and his brother and a friend and his grandmother up to the station on Thursday, and we had a little tour, and it was good to see you, Isaac. And I hope that you enjoyed your tour, and that I really enjoyed meeting your family. And next time you get a chance, give us a shout. 813-239-9663. We are deep in the midst of the lightning round. Bob in Lutz, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You got the floor.
Hey, John, anytime anybody who can hear my voice comes across one of these breathless, deep state conspiracy people, just ask them two questions, okay? First of all, if there was this deep state conspiracy out to get Donald Trump, why did none of the FBI agents, why did none of the government officials, why did John McCain not pick up a phone and call a journalist before the election and leak the story?
Because
that's
they're all
taken.
Because they're all part of it, Bob.
Well, right. Okay. And now here's another question. Why is it that Donald Trump sides with Vladimir Putin instead of his own intelligence community over the issue of Russian interference in the election?
Interesting, isn't it?
Nobody has been able to answer that one for me. And just, I want to make one third point. And that is, no one has seen the Mueller report, so you can't be spiking the football in the end zone just yet. Nobody knows what's in there, and Bob Barr has a history of cover-ups. Go back and look at the six pardons he approved on Christmas Day, 1992, for Iran-Contra.
How did Bob Barr approve pardons? Well, I'm not sure how that works.
He was involved in it. I think he was the Attorney General back then. And
okay.
So, H.W. Bush is getting ready to leave office. He's involved in Iran-Contra, and they put six pardons out to make sure people like Casper Weinberger aren't going to be talking to anybody. They're all pardoned on Christmas Day.
Well,
and so the fix is in, man.
Here's what has my attention, and as far as some of this stuff is concerned, Barr, first off, is a Trump appointee.
Yeah.
And secondly, he came to the office with an already stated bias about the conduct of the investigation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Completely.
He made it. He made what I believe was an unsolicited comment about the nature and legality of the investigation. So I don't consider him to be a fair witness. You know, and he may be a very straight up guy, we'll find out when the report comes out. But that's the kind of thing that shades my concerns about him.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, here's the thing too. If Bob Mueller is of the mindset that the president cannot be charged with a crime while he's in office, that may explain why he deferred on the question of prosecution to the Justice Department.
No, it's a possibility. That's what we're going to see. Yeah. Listen, Bob, we got to go. The time wall is approaching. Russell and Mary and Patricia will talk to you again. And in the meantime, always, always, always keep in mind as we go along.
To start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Stay tuned for the song that changed the direction of music forever. And Jerry McGee from Texas playing a few songs. This is WMNF Tampa.